Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yamer, Shos Rav Twersky, Tzvi Samuel, my father-in-law, Dr. Levitz, Mishpachat Hornstein. The days that we are in right now are great days, days of awe. An awe stemming from the greatness, the greater dimension of existence that we are part of and is more easily accessible during these days. And now, this evening, we have the opportunity to connect to some great people. About 28 years ago, Shalvim was blessed with an exceptional student, Mati Hornstein, joining the yeshiva. Mati was a top-notch student, an all-around exceptional and idealistic personality who came to Israel and Shalvim to gain the most from his time here, to gain the most from the shiurim, from chavrusa, social interactions, as well as every experience which would give him a stronger connection to life in Israel. Upon his return to America, Mati attended Harvard University, and in addition to adjusting to his new academic schedule, Mati immediately set up chavrusas, attended shiurim, started teaching Hebrew part-time at Maimonides, and also became a political activist, getting involved in Israel advocacy on campus. And then, tragically beyond words, on his first Shabbos home, back in Allentown, Pennsylvania, the Shabbos before Yom Kippur, Mati was hit by someone on a bicycle while he was walking with his family. Mati was in critical condition and left this world a few hours later. Mati's p'tira left a hole in the heart of his family, which subsequently motivated them to invest so much of their time, their energy, and finances towards the continued development of Yeshivat Shalavim, where their son had such a powerful experience during what now became the last year of his life. Over the years, Alex, Hashem Yishmereyu, Mizakeyu, and his wife, Dr. Vera Alaa Shalom Hornstein, continued to assist the yeshiva and watch the place that Mati was so connected to continue to blossom. The most recent project of the yeshiva, the new dorm that you guys are living in, is a project which the Hornsteins supported and followed from its inception until complete actualization. And we at Shalavim have a tremendous debt of Hakarat HaTov to them. 2 years after Mati, Alav HaShalom, learned in Shalavim, we had the privilege of having Mati's younger brother, Avi, Yibadel Chaim Tovim Arukim, as he mentions with us tonight, join us. And now as we watch Avi's beautiful family continue to grow, we have the pleasure of being neighbors with Mishpacha Hornstein, who live in nearby Chashmonaim. Tonight, we have the very special privilege and honor to hear words of Torah and wisdom from a very close family friend of the Hornsteins, an individual who was very close to the Hornsteins at their time of greatest despair, and provided them with the guidance the light, warmth, and depth with which he continues to guide Am Yisrael. As we get together tonight, right before the most special day of the year, it is with great respect that I want to introduce one of the most special Jews of our times, Harav Dr. Tversky.
Some interesting things that we see that the Chazal talks to tell us about the relationships of Kol Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with the Shema we said, Im Kebanim, Im Kevadim. We can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as children to a father, as servants to a master. In the morning when we put on tefillin, we say Ve'arastich li'olam, that there is a bond of kedushin, that there's a relationship of a marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael. And we find discussions of the significance of these relationships. One relationship that has not been adequately described is the relationship of partnership. Now there are two places where it's very clear, where Chazal say that the Kol Hashem Shabbat Kehilchato Nase Shutaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maaseh Bereishis. We become partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Bnei Yisrael. Well, the obvious question is why? What makes us a Shutaf? I think we can understand that with the Chiddush of the Erechaim HaKadosh, where the Erechaim says that Sheishes Yomim Oso Hashem. It doesn't say Bis Sheishes Yomim. It says Hashem made it Sheishes Yomim, 6 days. So the Erechaim HaKadosh says Hashem only made 6 days. And the fact that the world continues beyond that 6 days is because of Shabbos. And he said, Lu Yitzoyer, that there would not be one Yisrael who's a Shema Shabbos, the world would go out of existence. Okay? So we're a Shutaf when we keep Shabbos properly, we enable the Shem's Bria to continue. So we're Shutaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maaseh Bereishis. The second time is clear when it says, Kol Dayan Hadon Din Emes Lamito, Nase Shutaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maaseh Bereishis. It says several times, twice, that the Chazal tell us that we can become a Shutaf. I think the importance of Shutvis can be appreciated with a story of the Abt Avot, Ohev Yisrael, who heard that in a nearby village there's a person who gives brochas, and his brochas are so powerful that every brocha that he gives is fulfilled. So the Abt Avot wanted to know, who is this tzaddik? And he went to meet him, and he found he's a grocer. He has a makolet. He's not a particularly talented chacham. He didn't see any particular tzidkis. A very simple person. But as he watched him work at transacting with customers, he saw that every time that he made a sale and he got the money for the merchandise, he put some of the money into his cash register and he put some of the money in a pushkin. And this went on all day. So finally, out of curiosity, Rav Tov asked him, what is your power that your brochas are so effective? So the man said, look, I was having trouble making panosa, And my wife said, you know, if you get yourself a shutif, if you get yourself a partner, you'll be able to do better. So I looked around as to where can I find a partner. But I couldn't find anybody whom I could really trust. So finally I said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I said, Rabbi Mishalaylo, you're the only one who I can trust. So you know what? You become my partner. And I give you a 50% share of the business. And every time I make a sale, half of the income goes to tzedakah. And that's what I've been doing. So he says, now, I understand that if there's a partnership and one partner makes a commitment, the other partner has to fulfill it. Right? So when somebody comes to me with a toilet, and I tell him, I made a commitment, the other partner has to fill it. So Hashem has to give me the food. If a couple come that they're childless, and I give them a bracha that they should have a child, right? My partner has to fulfill it. The story tells us what the tremendous power is of being a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We only said the two ways that we saw it, that the Chazal say. Shmiras Shabbos and Don Din Emes Lamita. But there are many other ways. Because you see, Hashem has asked our participation in many ways. In Bria's Olam it says, Nasa Odom. The obvious question, what do you mean, Nasa Odom? Let us make a man. Who's let us? Whose participation is Hashem want? And why in all of the Sheshis Mebereshis, creating all the galaxies, I didn't ask for anybody's participation. But in creating man, Hashem wants somebody's participation. So the Baal Shem Tov says it's very obvious. Hashem created many things, many living things. He created Malachim, right? The Malachim are created Malachim, right? And the Malachim are complete when they're created. He created all kinds of living things, all kinds of animals, and the animals are complete when they're created. Right? A crocodile does not have to become anything other than a crocodile. Then Hashem had the wish that he wanted another kind of being. Not a being that's going to be complete, but a being that is going to be created with a potential. And that creature is supposed to develop his own potential in order to become an Odom. What are we when we are born? Tanakh says, the person is born as a wild mule. We're created as animals, but we're not supposed to remain animals. We're supposed to develop that part of us, the neshama that HaKadosh has given us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, to be something different than animals. Not only intelligent, but animals do not have midas. We're supposed to have midas. We're supposed to control our animalistic desires, whatever they are. And when we do that, when we control those desires, then we become an Odom. But you see, Hashem was dependent on us to be an Odom. Because had He created us perfectly spiritually, we would have been Malachim. That's not what He wanted. So Nasa Odom is Hashem talking to Odom Rishon. And He says, look here, Odom. Right? You've got a physical body. Right now you've got all animal instincts. You're not an Odom yet. Nasa Odom, when you develop yourself, you develop your neshama to be in control and become master of yourself, then you'll be an Odom. Nasa Odom. And if we take that interpretation that the Baal Shem says, we realize that every time we fulfill the Nasa Odom, by overcoming our natural instincts, our animalistic instincts, and living a spiritual life, we are fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa v'nasa oda. It's not one of the 613, but it's a mitzvah nevertheless. And since Hashem Kaviyochol could not do this himself, because he's dependent on us to develop ourselves, okay? So we're a partner to our Kodesh Baruch Hu and Masa B'leishas. There are many others. It says, Al Shalosh Dvarim Ha'Elohimet, Al Din Va'emes Hashem. The world is dependent on Din. And Hashem wants the world to continue. But can only continue if we function according to Din. Kol Dayan had done emes l'amitoy, nasa kashutam l'kadosh baruch hu b'masa b'nefesh. We enable the world to continue. Those are the two obvious ones, but there are many others. And Rosh Hashanah, we said, Malchus zechon yisefes, imro lefonai Malchus. Why? Kedei shetamlichuni aleichem. Hashem says, say the concept of Sukkim of Malchus so that you make me a melech over you. We should make Hashem a melech over you. Of course, the Gros says, Ki Hashem halucha Moshe bagoyim. There's the difference between a melech and a Moshe. A Moshe is a ruler who's a dictator. He does not have the support and the will of the people. But melech and melech below yod. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is a marshal over the Olam HaSoilu. But for Kal Yisrael, right, he's a melech. What enables Hashem to be a melech? Right, the fact that Tamlifuni Alechem, that we make him a melech. And not only Rosh Hashanah, but every time that we make a bracha, and we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, that we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Melech, right? We're a partner with Hashem. By himself, he could only be a Moshe. Hashem became a Melech when we made him a Melech. There's other times when we find that Hashem is looking for our participation. When we do chesed, we enable the world to continue. When we do shalom, we enable the world to continue. When we behave with emes, right, we enable the world to continue. So there are many things in which we can be partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we're zoicha to be partners, right, then we have the power of a shutav who says a yediyah in Chatohara. That's why some of the Sfarim say that the world operates according to Kol Yisrael. Because Kol Yisrael has a shutav. Sometimes it's very specific, where the Gemara says, Tzadik Moshel be Yiras Alekim. Me Moshel be. Hashem says, who's the rules over me? Tzadik. Tzadik goes over HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim Lora Tzadik is Goyzer? Because Tzadik is a partner. But it doesn't come easy to be a partner. And Hashem of Shabbos Kilchot said, what does that mean? Not working on Shabbos, that's not yet enough. The definition of Shema Shabbos is what the Rashi brings down, right? That when it comes to Vaichulu, if he forgets everything in the world except Shabbos, there's nothing in the world that exists from except Shabbos. He doesn't owe any money, nobody owes him any money. He doesn't have any unfinished jobs. Everything is completed.
That's the Shemitah Shabbos. And not everybody is zeicher to that degree of Shemitah Shabbos.
Din emes la'amitoi. It's not enough to be paskin in a good Shabbat and then a din toyer. It has to be emes la'amitoi. An example? There's an incident that in one city in Europe there was a person, a Jew who was very wealthy, very prominent, and he caused envy for many people. And they envy them, and along with envy comes hatred. And so they wanted to destroy him. So what they did was they engaged and hired two witnesses to come and testify that his wife was unfaithful. And they came and testified to Bezin, and Bezin had no choice except to tell him that he has to separate. His wife is a soita. And the man protests that he knows it's not true, and the wife protests that it's not true, but the halacha was the halacha. When the word came around to the Gro, to the Goan, the Goan said he wanted the witnesses to come to him. So the witnesses came to him, and the God investigated, interrogated one witness, then sent him out and interrogated the other witness. And then he brought the two witnesses together and he got up and he slammed his head. Sheker! You're liars! And they were so frightened that they admitted that they were hired to testify against this person. Well, the word got around that the Goan had Ruach HaKodesh, and he knew that they were Edei Sheker. So the Goan says, what kind of Ruach HaKodesh? This is simply learning Pshat the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that the Beis Din interrogates one witness separately, and then it interrogates the other witness. And if it turns out that their testimony, both testimonies, are compatible and harmony, then you accept that the testimony of Paksing of Dintayna. He says, normal witnesses, truth witnesses, right? Reuven will say his version of what he saw, and Shimon will say his version, but they will not say the same thing word for word. So the Mishnah says, "Nimsu divrei mechuvonim." These two witnesses said word for word the same thing. Mila b'mila. Obviously they had rehearsed it. So he says, that's what the Mishnah says. Now the first Bezin that ruled that the person had to separate, didn't they pass him the right halacha with the information that they had? Yes, they passed him the emes. But it was not emes l'amitoi. It was halacha the emes given the fact that they had, but it was not emes l'amitoi. Emes l'amitoi was that he had the understanding of Torah like the Torah. And if you have that kind of din, is a shleish advarim oilem oimed al hadin, that enables continuation of the world. And if we enable continuation of the world, that's fulfilling the votes of Hashem, and we become partners. Doing chesed, gemat olam chesed yibon. And we all do chesed. But in order to be a partner, you have to have an exquisite kind of chesed. And there are people, and if you go through the lives of the Gedolim, you see what kind of chesed they have. One of my favorite stories of a chesed is the story of the Alter Rebbe, Rav Tanya. Rav Tanya asked one of his chassidim, why isn't it that you haven't married off any of your daughters? So the man said, Rebbe, I'm on the lamed, I don't make much money, I don't have no respectful status in the community, everybody looks down on me, he's a Muhammad. So, nobody wants to become a mechutin with me. Nobody wants to do a shidduch with me.
So the Rebbe said, you know something? I have a son, a good son. He's a good young man. My son, Bel. Right? You take him for one of your daughters, and then you'll be my mechutin. And once you'll be my mechutin, everybody's going to body want to be a mechutin with you. That's an unusual act of chesed. And this Bel became the second Rebbe, the middle of that. The trick that the grocer did that enabled him to be a shidduch is because every transaction that he made was activating and exercising the shidduch. It wasn't what in the morning when he davened, and it wasn't three times a day. Every minute of the day he was engaged in his partnership, and that gave him the koyach of being a shidduch. To know Hashem in all your ways. We had just a wonderful month of mitzvahs. Tshuvah, Shofar. Now we come in Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and then comes Chanukah, and have all wonderful mitzvahs. But they're only time oriented. The mitzvahs in Shazmangal. B'chol d'orchei d'orchach amin, everything that we do should be a mitzvah. I have on my desk the Mesilas Yesholim. Never goes off of my desk. I wish I could learn it every day, but I don't. But even though I don't learn it every day, it reminds me of the first Perek. Chai v'sa'odam b'olomai. This is a tremendously important concept in Yiddishkeit, to realize that we have a chayv, we have a mission, we have an assignment to do. The secular world doesn't know from that. The secular world knows from the concept of, if it feels good, do it. Do whatever you like. And that's led to the horrendous deterioration of humanity. Or to the epidemic of drug addiction that is threatening the existence of our youth, existence of our country. Incidentally, Iran does not have to destroy us with an atomic bomb. It's doing a good enough job by making heroin cheap. And by making heroin easily available, it's destroying the country. It doesn't have to use nuclear weapons. But we have to realize that everything we do is a mitzvah, or should be a mitzvah. So that if a person eats and makes a brucha, and says, Baruch Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, and is Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and uses and eats and with the kavana, that I need the energy of this food, of this nutrition, to be able to do Torah mitzvahs, then that becomes a part of Torah. That becomes a mitzvah. And just like Kabbalah was a mitzvah, our Shulchan is a mitzvah. But only if we do it with Shem Shemayim. Now, of course, unfortunately, we are only limited human beings, so we've fallen into the trap of doing things that are pleasure. And the Ramban in Parsha Kedoshim says, you can fulfill all Tayag mitzvahs and be a novel Birchus HaTorah. You don't have to be a malach to fulfill mitzvahs. Kedoshim to you. Kadesh Atzvacha B'mutalach. Use only that goods of the world that are muta, and use them for kedusha. So yes, if you need an amount of sleep in order to be able to be bright enough and to be able to learn Torah, then sleep becomes part of living Torah. And eating becomes a lot of Torah Torah. And judicious exercise becomes a lot of Torah. And everything you do with the kavanah, this is going to enable me to have a good mindset that I should be able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs, that too becomes mitzvahs. And if we do that, and we fulfill our mission, then we are partners with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is our Nahasa'odah. But it's so easy to fall into the trap that the Sotna sets for us, to do whatever is pleasant, to do whatever gives us pleasure. And we forget that there's a mission there. You know, when I was a child, that wasn't much of a problem. There were very few things that could give us pleasure. Yeah. It's in the 1930s, if it was a hot day, you suffered. Because there was no relief except by fans which didn't do too much. Work was hard work. There were no electronics. The kitchen was a workplace. There were no microwaves. No instant foods. No frozen foods. A household was a difficult thing. I remember my mother scrubbing the clothes on the scrubbing board. I remember what a simcha it was when we got our first washing machine. Travel from New York to California was 60 hours. 2 days and three nights. Nowadays, 5 hours. Communication. Communication has improved and it has ruined us. We used to talk to people. Today you don't talk to anybody. You text them. And texting has become so addictive that people who come from families text on Shabbos because they're addicted to it. When I was a kid, our house was quarantined 6 times when I had childhood diseases. There was no immunization. That doesn't happen anymore. The average lifespan in the 1930s was 49. Today it's 80. So technology has removed so much of the misery of life, so much of the hardships, and made life so much easier. I mean, if I think about it, my first car was a 1936 Plymouth. It didn't have power steering, it didn't have power brakes, it didn't have no air conditioning. But it gave you the transportation. And on a hot day, it was miserable. And all of that has changed. Science and technology have revolutionized the world. And it made it so much easier to live that people come around, especially young people, have the idea, you're supposed to have fun. The world is one great big amusement park. And then the kids figure, yeah, I'm not getting my share of pleasure. So they go for pot, they go for marijuana. They go for other drugs, they go for alcohol. All because they forget, you're not here to amuse yourself. You're here, you have a job to do. And when you have a job to do, you have to keep on the job. Then on the halacha, if you're working, and you want to make a personal call, if you don't have the permission of the boss to make a personal call, that's gezeilah. The Chum say when the people brought Bikulim, there was a special halacha that the people in Yerushalayim were able to greet them. And if you were a poyel, and you had to say Krishna, right? The first, you could say only the first Pelik of Krishna.
And what about Shimon Ezra?
Unless you had the permission of the boss, you could do it on your own time. Right? You have to say it's Tefillah Ketzoveh.
And if we are engaged in a Cholos Odom Olamo, what gives us the right to detract from that and do anything that is not part of the Cholos Odom Olamo?
And if you live the true halachic life, which is the Cholos Hechad Ehu, then we become part of this Hashem. And just think what it would be like if you were like that Tov the Makolas, who used the power of Shutras to give the office. The enormous potent power that you get of being a part of the Hashem.
Let alone the enormous cover that you have.
Right? I am a part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem needs my participation. The Melech Malchei Melechim can't get along without me.
He can't be a Melech unless I make him a Melech. Tamlichuni
Aleichem. What kind of feeling of self-esteem you get from being the one who makes a Kodesh Baruch Hu a Melech.
So if we were if we take these Nesilas Yitzchorim seriously and live our lives as a Cholos Odom Olamo,
and this I believe this Nesilas Yitzchorim is a must be learning. There are other Sifkei Musa that are excellent, but I think that the Yisrael Salant once said that the Yisrael Salant had an enormous mind and an enormous goyness. And he appreciated the greatness of the Neder Behuda. And yet he said, Svolim like the Neder Behuda wrote, I can write on a shir. I can write many. But I can't write one page of Mesilas Yisholim. The Gaon, before he left his house to go out onto the street, would learn Perek Beis of Mesilas Yisholim 13 times. So Sibiris Yisholim is the kind of thing that we need for Cholos Odom Olamo. We are not here to enjoy ourselves in an amusement park. And every pleasure that we get has to be with a goal. Yes, it's good to have relaxation, and it's good to have amusement, but only if they help us to a status of mental health and well-being that will enable us to do Torah mitzvahs properly. So what I want to leave you with is the idea that we started off the year with Malchus, HaMelech HaYoshev Al Kisei Ol Venisa, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, Nishatam Lechuni Aleichem, is dependent upon us. And with our everyday life, B'chol Baruch Hech Le'eyu, we constantly make HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Melech. And whether it's in the Shemitah Shabbos or in Dinim Ka'alocha, Emeser HaSholem, for all the things that are heard in Lehmet, that are the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Otzon, when we fulfill the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Otzon, we are Shutfen to Him. And when we are Shutfen to Him, the power that we have is enormous. As all the Sfarim say, that when we observe Torah properly, then we essentially control the world. And if the world is in a sad shape, it's because we are at fault in exercising our capacities. So that's, I think, the important message of Rosh Hashanah. Tam lichuni aleichem. Not only once a year, and only a salesman and children, but every day of the year. I just want to say one more word about tshuva. We've been involved on tshuva for the whole Chodesh Elul. It's very interesting that the Gemara says that Hashem created tshuva before B'riyas Olam. Why? Why did it need, what's so unique about tshuva that had a special creation? Isn't it just logical? You know, we are fallible human beings, we make mistakes, And so we apologize and we do tshuva, and so we get a kapora, we get a mechila. We don't understand what tshuva is. Take the case of a person who knew that he should not smoke cigarettes. And for 30 years he smoked 2 packs a day, and unfortunately he developed cancer. And when he found out that he's got cancer, that it's going to kill him, right, he started crying and tells the doctor, "I'm so sorry that I ever did it. I regret that I spoke to him. I'm so sorry. I realized how stupid I was. I'll never touch another cigarette." What's the doctor going to say? Yeah. "Your remorse, your tshuva is very good, but I can't take away the cancer. Averes are toxic to us. And if we do proper tshuva, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Melchi sicha ob shoecha. You never did the Avera. You've done proper tshuva, it's extirpated. It never happened. And then if you really do tshuva mahava, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Zudoinus nasa loizkin tzachios. You get rewards for the tshuva. Rewards for the avodas that you did. What kind of idea is that? But that's the power of tshuva. Tshuva me'ahava. But Tetzav HaRom went over to a man who was a profligate Baal Aveda, profligate sinner. And he said to him, "I envy you." He meant, what do you envy me? "I envy your chelik in Gan Eden." He said, "But what are you talking about? I mean, everybody knows me that I had nothing to do with Yiddishkeit." He says, no. "That's the way you are now. But one day you will come to your senses and you will do tshuva. And you'll do tshuva mahava. And all the averes that you did will become zochias. You'll have more zchusim than I could ever have." That's what tshuva is about. But again, the Kaddish Baruch Hu is dependent on our participation. Tshuva elai. And so what we learn with Rosh Hashanah with Malchus, and what we learn with Chedichela, Nosasim, and Tshuva, is how we can become partners by exercising the fact that Hashem, Kol Yochel, is dependent on our participation. And so when we make this commitment and we do the proper tshuva and we dedicate ourselves to Torah mitzvahs, especially mitzvahs ben adam chaveiro, right, we earn for ourselves the shonah toivim v'lechuch, agmach sima toivim, yeshuas and defuas, and the goal of shlema. Amen.
I'd like to ask Avi Weinstein to share a few words with us before we finish with the Kel Mullet.
B'chol Rosh Yeshiva Rabbanim, Avi Mori, who through a series of circumstances couldn't make it here tonight, so that's why I am. At the age of 17, Rav Kook wrote in a letter to his father that he was struggling in yeshiva. Sitting and learning frustrated Rav Kook. He felt as though he would study, toil, contemplate, engage in deep halachic arguments over disputations in the Gemara. But after all that, the Torah just didn't sink in. He didn't get it. How many of us feel that way so often? "After all," Abba wrote Rav Kook, "I have learned all of Bavli only 7 times this year." But that was Rav Kook. What was it that bothered Rav Kook? What was he missing? Rav Yehuda Aryeh Leib Alter, the Hasidic master of Gera and the author of the famed Sfas Emes, writes on this past week's Parsha, Parsha Vayelech, "Lo tishkach mi tizaro." Rashi explains that this is the Havtacha, the promise, that the Torah will never be forgotten in Am Yisrael. The Sfas Emes pursues the word mipi. Why the mouth? Why not the moach? Why not the nefesh? Why the mouth? And in classic Hasidic style, he explains that the pi is the guardian of the heart, which is why we refer to the Torah as the Torah Sheba'al Peh. After all, whenever we learn something Baal Peh, how do we learn it? We learn it by heart. But what is the connection between the Torah and the heart? And what is it that bothered Rav Kook? Something I recently learned with my son Chaim, as we prepare for his bar mitzvah in Pirkei Avos, helps shed a window of understanding to these questions. V'lo ha-midrash hu ha-ikar, elo ha-ma'aseh. It's not the limud that is the ikar, it's the ma'aseh. It's what our learning drives us to do and to become. It's what shapes us and changes our heart. Learning should never be for the sake of just our minds, to cover more ground, to gather more lumdus. It should mold us, it should make us different, see the world differently, and therefore act differently. Rav Kook wrote later in his life that the answer to his own question, that learning Torah is the window to our soul. When we learn something that speaks to us, it reaches the depths of our hearts, and it changes us. It changes who we become. That is the true point of Torah. The Sfas Emes drives home the connection of the Torah and the pi with the heart. In Vayelech, as it says, Lo tishkach mipi zaro, these words of the Torah will never be missing from the lips of Am Yisrael. He makes the connection with the pasuk in Mishlei. Katvam aluach libecha. Write these words on your heart, and you will learn it on your lips, but it will change you and be inscribed in your heart forever. On this now, the 27th Yahrzeit of my brother Mordechai ben Mesholem Lechayim, Zecharinu Lebracha, these lessons, I think, have special meaning. As Rav Ari mentioned, Motzi was brilliant. His intellect showed in everything he did. College summer courses when he was in grade school, Masmidim Shir and MTA, advanced math classes, physics in freshman year of high school. In seventh grade, he took a summer math course in Harvard University. Motzi was smart. But his actions ultimately spoke louder than words. As Ari mentioned, after his year here in Shalvim, he chose his courses that he took as he progressed on in Harvard University to determine how he could help Am Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. He wrote this best in an article that actually, unfortunately, I couldn't find, and I asked Rav Ari to try and distribute a copy of an essay that he wrote when he was in Harvard. But he expresses there in that essay why he chose his course load, how best he could help Am Yisrael, help Klal Yisrael, and help Eretz Yisrael. What courses would best put him on the course to be a member of Knesset, maybe even Prime Minister. He was an Ish Maaseh, and he took his learning and was able to have it be mashpia on his heart to give him a direction in everything he did. And Baruch Hashem, my father who couldn't be here, is also an Ish Maaseh for any of you who know my father. If we can all take these lessons while we go into Yom Kippur, for using our tefillos and the Torah that you will be engaging this year to be mashpia on our own heart and our own nefesh, to become anshei masa, we should be zocha this Yom Kippur to see the words that we say in Slichos every day, that they should be fulfilled. Hizkiru lefanov, hishmiu lefanov, Torah umasim tovim. Thank you.
If I can ask the guys in the first row to stay behind for Ma'ariv, we'll have a minion for Ma'ariv and Avi will down for the Amr. That's okay. And if you can't, if there's a problem, specific problem, ask someone else to switch. Rachamim shochei b'amramim Amtzei menucha nechona Kanfei ha-shechina B'malos kedoshim utorim Kizohar araki ha-mazirim Es nishmas Mordechai ben Meshulam v'chaya Shalach l'olamo B'avur shakol ha-tzibur hazeh mitpalim Ba'ad ha-skarat nishmato בגן עדן תהי מנוחתו, לכן בעל הרחמים יעס תיראו בסייס הכנפיו לעולמים. ויצרור בצרור החיים אס נשמסו, אדוני הוא נחל עשו, וינוח בשלום המשכבו, ונאמר אמן. Mati learned here in the yeshiva, and we've spoken about different angles of making the most of his time here. And Mati will continue to be present here in the yeshiva with the connection of his family to the yeshiva. and specifically within what takes place here in the yeshiva through you guys learning from his life and making his life impact your lives, motivating you, inspiring you to take full advantage of your time here. And Al Yidei Zeh, Mati continues to live with us here in Yeshivat Shalavim. Again, if a couple of guys can stay behind for Myra.